Midlands Today on Midlands 103 with O'Brien's Mullingar. The Renault Capture. Capture life. POBrien.ie. When people in the Midlands want to talk, they talk to Will Faulkner.
Well, good morning. How are you today? It's a very sad morning because in County Laois, spare a thought for Marie, Dennis, Ella, and all the Keeley family who are mourning the loss of little Hannah. And she was playing in a pool, in a little paddling pool. And there was a tragic, tragic accident. And at the age of only two, she was taken from them. And the story emerged yesterday. I know it was known locally for the last few days. But the statement that was released by Gordy yesterday confirms they attended the scene at 10:30 last Wednesday morning in Stradbally. And she was removed from the scene to Portlaoise Hospital for treatment. She was later transferred to Crumlin and then to Temple Street. And she passed away on Sunday. And a file is being prepared for the coroner. Clonine Hurling Club, they've passed their condolences to Marie, to Dennis, to the Cahill and Keeley families on the very sad passing of Hannah. And there have been many tributes on social media in the last 24 hours or so since she passed away. And I want to just add our own sympathies to that. It is just the most unimaginable loss. And when you see her sweet little face in this morning's papers, it just makes it all the more palpable and all the more powerful and all the deeper the grief that we all feel, but especially those who knew her and who know the family. So anyway, a sad note on which to begin the programme, but let's look at what else is happening around the region and around the world. And the main story on the Irish Independent tells you that first-time buyers are being forced into more debt, €30,000 more debt than was the case 12 months ago. And it is because the cost of living crisis has combined with already rising house prices. And the reason the cost of living impacts on this is when you apply for a mortgage, it's not just your income, but they look at your outgoings and what you have left over and your capacity to pay. And so now they have concluded that the average first-time buyer must borrow €263,000, which beats the record which had been set in 2008, the peak of the boom. Beats it by a good bit, actually. 263 now, 251,000 then. The main story, though, on the Irish Times is about David Trimble, and his picture is on the front of many newspapers this morning. The former Ulster Unionist Party leader who passed away at the age of 77 yesterday, and all sorts of glowing tributes to him, being described as a political giant, being described by the Ulster Unionist Party as a man who was an architect of the Belfast Agreement negotiations. President Higgins says his work was most significant in its contribution to peace on our island. And all other tributes subsequently set the same tone. And quite young, 77 years of age. They only say he passed away following a short illness. What have we got inside the papers? Here's one, if you're politically minded. Interesting U-turn by Micheál Martin. He's not ruling out a coalition with Sinn Féin in the future. The Irish Examiner has the story. He says he doesn't anticipate Mary Lou MacDonald becoming Taoiseach. And he says he's not rejecting a coalition with them. He does consider Sinn Féin guilty of poisoning younger generations with its attitude towards the Troubles. So while he's not saying he would definitely do it, he does add, we are a democracy. Elections are there to be competed in. It's not a certainty by any means. But he's not ruling it out either. So he's... Micheál Martin has pledged to lead Fianna Fáil into the next election. There are many in that party who feel he's not the man to do that. But now he may be trying to broaden his base if he's willing to countenance a coalition with Sinn Féin. Interesting manoeuvre. And we'll see what the opponents within his party, the rebels, what they respond with. Anyway, if you're not political, you won't give two hoots, but you might like the fashion that is on display at the Galway races. And some of the outfits are just spectacular. They must have cost an absolute bloody fortune. And sure, why not, if you've been holed up and you haven't had a chance to celebrate in 3 years, get out, get the fashion going. It's going to be a fantastic couple of days, and thankfully the weather, while it's not going to be splitting the stones by any means, the sun is going to pop out from time to time. It'll be fairly settled, fairly dry, and temperature is quite pleasant. One of the people you're introduced to in the Irish Independent is Eddie Duggan from County Clare. He turned 90 last week and he never misses the racing in Ballybrit. And there are many other very, very stylish people there too. Anyway, from the file marked, is this really news? The Irish Times tells us that acute hospitals will require thousands more healthcare staff between now and 2035. No, Sherlock, you would have to imagine the need for more staff is obvious when we've got an ageing population. But they've managed to quantify it, the clever people at the ESRI. They say we will need between 12,500 and 15,500 extra healthcare staff. So if you've got somebody in school at the moment and they'll be filling out the CAO form very soon, a healthcare job, well, you were not going to go hungry. You're not going to be out of work. You are going to be in demand. But you may be in even greater demand overseas and maybe paid better overseas. Who knows? This is a heartbreaking letter to the Irish Times. How would you respond in this case? So it's from a man who says 3 months ago, his wife of 5 years told him she wanted to separate, which took him by complete surprise. Now, he says their marriage was never by any means perfect. They would often row about very minor issues, but any disagreement was only ever very brief and they would move on quickly. He says, we've had some great adventures. We have travelled most of Europe and Asia, and we are very close to each other's families. Both of us were very clear from the beginning that we wanted to have children. And here's where the problem begins. No children were coming along, so the GP recommended that he undergo an analysis, and the results were returned and checked and rechecked, and it turns out he has very low quality sperm. So much so that even through IVF, he is unlikely to ever father a child. Which is a very debilitating message to hear, whether you are a man or a woman, if you've got fertility issues. Anyway, he goes on to say that even though I was visibly devastated, my wife became withdrawn and refused to discuss the issue. And then a few days later, she told me she wanted to separate, she no longer loved me, and she did not wish to discuss it any further. She returned to her parents' house within a week, and she has barely spoken or replied to any messages since. And she refuses to go counselling. She is adamant our marriage is over. And so this letter writer wants solutions. And the reply comes, the great difficulty here is that when one person wishes to leave a relationship and offers no opportunity for reconciliation, there is little the other person can do but accept it. But he should try get an explanation. Unfortunately, I think you have the explanation. It's just not easy to hear. And maybe you want to hear it. Maybe you want the words spelled out. Be careful what you wish for. Anyway, awful position to be in. Here's a more uplifting story. Seamus Mooney is introduced to us in the Irish Independent today. He grew up in County Clare, and having been born in 1946, they reckon he is the oldest person in Ireland with Down syndrome. And how times have changed during his lifetime. Because he recalls, as indeed his family recall, that when he was young, neighbours said they would take him to Dublin to see if they could get him fixed. As if he was a defective toy. Get him fixed. His mother swore that she would never let him out of her sight, and she didn't. And she was his protector and his advocate up until the day she died. And by all accounts, yes, for a few years he had some social anxiety because his mother made sure he wasn't taken advantage of and didn't see very many people. But now he is very outgoing and he still enjoys being at home playing Lego and writing out greeting cards himself. But he's full of the joys of life. He uses a rollator to help him walk. And anyway, the moral of the story is the doctors, when he was born, didn't believe he would live much beyond the age of 10. And here he is now at the age of 76. But his family are just curious if Seamus is the oldest person in Ireland with Down syndrome. They've made some inquiries through the Down syndrome branches around the country, and the answer appears to be yes, he is. But maybe somebody didn't get the memo. Now, great news in medical science. Irish scientists have developed an artificial heart from silicone. And we've been trying to do this as a species for years and years and years, ever since there was the first heart transplant operation 50 years ago or so. But there was always a challenge. How do you develop a mechanical heart that will be as durable and will work in the same way that a human heart does without being rejected by the body? And while it's very early stages, the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland believe that their silicone heart can be used in the future whenever somebody goes into heart failure. And heart failure is one of the biggest killers, along with heart disease, in Ireland. So it affects, by the way, heart failure more women than men. So they're going to be studying how to put this into practice in the next couple of years. It has to go through all of the tests and all of the trials, and it's not going to be today nor tomorrow. But it is worth reading about in the Irish Independent. The research was funded by Enterprise Ireland, and it is extremely, extremely promising. Very Star Trek, actually. Captain Picard in Star Trek The Next Generation, he had an artificial heart. He was also bald. And another study out today suggests that hair loss is a new symptom of long COVID, along with diminished sex drive. So you can add that to the loss of smell and the shortness of breath and the chest pain and the fatigue and all of the other nasties associated with non-COVID. You're going to go bald and you'll have no interest in bedroom gymnastics. That's according to the Irish Independent. The journal.ie tells us about a new study which says you should ditch the Prozac and dig out the swimming togs instead. The headline says, study launched into outdoor swimming as alternative to antidepressants. That's worth looking at. Why outdoor swimming? Outdoor swimming in Ireland in December? No thanks. Maybe at this time of year, but I'd rather head to the pool. Nice warm indoor pool. Port Arlington or Tullamore or Mullingar, wherever you happen to be. Two other ones very quickly for you. Met Éireann insists we did not have record-breaking temperatures last week, that the temperature in 1887 in Kilkenny still stands, 33.3 degrees. The record is 135 years old. But the Phoenix Park last week hit 33 degrees, and some climate experts say it is the true record because the thermometer used was accurate. And the Kilkenny thermometer 135 years ago would not have been as precise. But Met Aaron says, nope, that's cobblers. It was perfect 135 years ago. So they're rowing over that. Either way, it was bloody hot. Who cares if it was a record or not? And finally, do you forget your Tesco club card when you go shopping? From time to time, it's going to happen. Something important that you should have in the wallet or in the purse, you leave it at home. Well, one man has the solution, and his name is Dean Mayhew. He's 30, and he's a genius. Because rather than forget his Tesco club card, he has tattooed the QR code onto his arm. And yes, it scans. Staff in West Sussex in England, where he lives, they are able to run the scanner over his forearm, and lo and behold, he gets his points added. Seems like a rather extreme solution, but there you go. I have a feeling he'll regret that one in a few decades' time when he's old and wrinkly. Does he have to stretch it out? Will they still have club? Yeah, he probably won't have club car points then. It'll be totally, totally useless and redundant. Do you have any tattoo that you regret? You don't have to stick your name on the text, but do share. I'm sure there's an interesting story or two to be heard today. 083 30 10 103. Text or WhatsApp, powered by Lamb Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. Oh, it's a great day to be heading to Tato Park. And hello to Eamon, Holly, Mia, Aaron and Brooke, who are en route at the moment. And have a great day, guys. You really are lucky ducks, by the way, because tickets for Tato Park are completely sold out for today. So you've gotten the Willy Wonka golden tickets. Hold on to them. Enjoy. Ooh, fancy a taste of Leash. We've got some lovely, lovely lunches to savour this week. For instance, if you like dining out at O'Gorman's of Kilminchie, well, €100 to spend there can be yours today. Or maybe you like the Midlands Park Hotel, the Maldron, the Collection. The list goes on. All this week, savouring a taste of Leash on the Midlands Today Show. And I'll tell you more about how you can win those prizes very, very soon. We're also searching for the most famous Illan Piper, either here or in America. And I'll give you more details on that very soon. But a word to the wise, a scam. And there are so many scam artists these days, it's very hard to stay on top of these. And Frank in County Leash would consider himself pretty savvy, pretty sharp when it comes to the rights and wrongs and the do's and the don'ts. But he had a lucky escape, but for the vigilance of his bank. So let's find out what happened. And again, once you're forewarned, you are forearmed. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, Will.
How did this happen?
It began when I advertised something on Dundeal that I wanted to sell. And within a short time, I had a text on WhatsApp from someone who wanted to buy it. And from there, we sort of had a discussion about could this person collect, and recognize that the person was a bit too far away. They were in Limerick and I'm in Leash. And But they said, well, look, there's a way we can do this. DPD offer a service whereby I pay them, that's the person pays them, and they pay you, that's DPD pay me. And they put up on WhatsApp message a snapshot of what appeared to be a page from a DPD leaflet, or it may have been a web page, but you know, there was a DPD van with a man standing beside it at the head, and then underneath was the instructions of how this was going to work.
Okay, so it looked legitimate that it was a genuine transaction.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, a bit later I had another message saying that this person had set up the deal and directing me to a website, which was a DPD website, supposedly. And I went to the website, and there's a button there which says receive the money. And I emphasise this is not a windfall. It's not something somebody offering to give me something out of the blue. This is somebody paying for an item that I'm selling. At the website, as I say, there's a button saying receive the money, and you click that, and it takes you to a page where you can enter the card details and some security information. And what made this seem so real, one of the things anyway, was that in the bottom right-hand corner of the DPD website, the real DPD website, there's a little chat icon which enables you to have a text conversation.
Yeah, just to assist you through things, yeah. Yes.
And that was there as well.
Right.
So I clicked on that, and I assumed I was talking to somebody at DPD, and I'm, you know, asking for reassurance about some of the things I was being asked to do, and I was getting reassuring answers. You know, oh, we're trying to avoid scams, we want to make sure we know who we're dealing with, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the whole transaction ended, as they so often do, with a one-time 6-digit code that comes on an SMS message. So I received that and I entered it, and that's when the problem started, because as my bank informed me later, that one-time code, which was issued by the bank, simply enabled someone with a Google Pay wallet on their phone to link that wallet to my account, and they started spending money. And believe it or not, they were in Kiev.
So,
not Limerick.
Well, let's come back to that in a moment. So, how quickly did the bank react?
The bank reacted within about 10 minutes. I was still on WhatsApping with this person, believe it or not, and I got a phone call, incoming phone call. I answered the phone, and the person at the bank started asking me questions about Kiev, and then about had I received a message from somebody like the HSE or Revenue or someone offering me money, and I said no, but I was expecting some money. Anyway, she said, you know, this is a scam, and immediately cancelled the card. And the transactions are now still shown as pending in my account, but I presume that they will not be honoured by the bank. And businesses in Kiev will suffer, I suppose. But yeah,
Yeah. Well, hopefully the bank intercepted in time. And how significant were the amounts they were trying to transfer from you?
Well, there are 5 transactions listed on my account. Couple of them, I mean, the business names, obviously, which I wouldn't recognise being Ukrainian. But I did Google some of them, and one, I think, is an ATM, and I think there may have been 2 small collections from that. Another is a supermarket, and again, there were 2 small transactions there. And the third one was an electrical store. And the total amount is about €600.
Well, look, I hope they are. Since it's pending, that would suggest they've interrupted it and it's not going to come out.
That's right, yeah.
Let's hope that's the case. So the moral of the story, obviously, is you always have to be on your guard, and you would be somebody who would consider themselves pretty savvy and pretty alert to the scam artists. And in this case, they've obviously found a new technique.
It would seem so, yeah. And I mean, the interesting thing, I suppose, as well, is that, you know, when I went to the DPD site, this deal was set up with a name and address of someone in Limerick, supposedly. Now, whether this is a real person or whether it's a real person that whose identity has been stolen, I really don't know, you know, but it looked absolutely genuine.
Well, I presume you're going to report it to the Gardaí, are you, Frank?
I've already spoken to the Gardaí about it, yes.
And they can follow up and inquire of that address in Limerick and see if there's any link to Kiev. It sounds like quite a leap, but I hope you get the money back. I am grateful for you drawing attention to it. Unfortunately, we all do business, sometimes on done deal or otherwise, buying and selling things. And DPD, they're a perfectly reputable company, a good intermediary to courier the products to you. But You always have to check when you get a link, is it the genuine article, is it to the real website or not? And they're very good at faking them these days. Frank, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks, Will.
That's Frank from County Leash. I hope he gets his money back. Temperature at the moment in Port Leash, 14 degrees. Looking to be a reasonably nice day, getting up to 18, 19 degrees and pretty settled for the middle of the week. Unfortunately, the weekend going to be another washout. Maybe not a complete washout, but certainly more unsettled than it is at the moment. Now, still to discuss, public sector unions are asking for a pay rise. Everybody is, naturally enough, asking for a pay rise with inflation running at nearly 10%. But the government isn't prepared to match the rate of inflation. And so public service unions are going to ballot for industrial action. And you're going to hear what their argument is in just a few moments and what parts of the public service might be worst affected and how does that ultimately impact on you. And after 11, Taoiseach Micheál Martin not ruling out a coalition with Sinn Féin. That is quite a U-turn by him. They say there are three sides to every story. Your side, my side, and somewhere between is the truth. Well, the government says its best offer to public servants is a 2.5% pay rise this year and another 2.5% next year on top of a 2% increase already provided for under the existing public sector pay deal. Unions are unhappy and say that doesn't keep pace with inflation and they are going to consult with their members in advance of ballots for industrial action. Well, let's speak with John King, who is Deputy General Secretary of the SIPTU Trade Union. John, good morning.
Good morning, Will.
That's the government's version of events. Is it accurate?
Well, I mean, there are certainly elements of it that are accurate, but the contextual piece here Will has to be set against the background of what's provided for in the current agreement. And what's provided for in the current agreement is a 2% pay increase over 2 years, 1% on the 1st of October last year for the year 2021. And when you annualise that over the year, it works out at a quarter of 1%. 1% on the 1st of October this year for the year 2022. And when you annualise that over the year 2022, it's actually a quarter of a percent. And that modest pay agreement was concluded in the midst of COVID when we didn't have a significant or any vaccine rollout. And there was a lot of uncertainty around the fiscal implications on the economy and a lot of resources rightfully going to support private sector jobs and private sector employment and so on, given what was happening in the economy. The other big underlying factor of the agreement was at that stage we were in very, very low levels of inflation. And what's happened over 2021 and certainly at an increased level into 2022 and looks like it's going to continue well into 2023 is that inflation has gone through the roof. And thankfully, the economy did not suffer any long-term fiscal implications because of COVID. In fact, our economy is performing at rates well in advance of what would have been anticipated pre-COVID. So the only ones who are not seeing any benefit from this agreement are the workers who are covered by it. And they've had their pay significantly eroded. And what we've done since, you know, what we've been trying to do since March of this year is to have meaningful engagement with the government side within the provisions of the agreement, because the provisions to review pay based on the underlying assumptions in the agreement are provided in the agreement. The government side have acknowledged that more needs to be done in the context of pay. We did get about that under the Workplace Relations Commission on the 17th of June, some 6 weeks ago. The government side adjourned the talks on the basis that they needed time to reflect. Some 6 weeks later, pay or inflation has only continued to increase, so workers are suffering more. And the government side are still saying that they're still reflecting. And we believe that that's bringing them into breach of the agreement. There is a requirement under the agreement to complete the review, and at the moment they're not doing that.
The government set the bar at 2.5% of a pay increase this year, a further 2.5% next year. What was your position?
Okay, so what we're not going to do, Will, and, you know, as a Public Services Committee of Congress, we've been very clear on this. We're not negotiating the outcome to these talks over the airways. The Workplace Relations Commission and the government side do know what our position is, and certainly...
Well, why shouldn't the taxpayer know?
Well, you see, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to do talks within the context of the Workplace Relations Commission, and you know, until such time as everything is agreed and nothing is agreed, so you don't want to be creating unnecessary barriers trying to conclude an agreement. But the reality of
it, would you be able to tell us if the gap is significant?
I would say that from where the government side are at the moment, and from where we know inflation is at the moment, the gap is significant. However, we have indicated to the WRC that we have significant room to negotiate on our position. Certainly we understand from the government side that they seem to be saying that they want to negotiate a settlement. They seem to be saying, and that's something that the Public Services Committee wants, they seem to be saying that the existing terms need to improve, and certainly we're on that page too. The one gap here is that we're not engaging in the WRC in talks, and until such time as the government side re-engage at the WRC, we won't arrive at the settlement and we will end up in a dispute.
We'll watch that space. I know there will be consultation. It may lead to balloting. It may lead to industrial action. Let's see if there's an agreement in the meantime. John, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Will.
John King of SIPTU. Good morning. The penalty point offences that are about to double. So, fines for drivers who speed, who move... on their mobile phone while driving, that is going to be a big, big fine from now on. I'll tell you how much very, very soon. And is Micheál Martin about to do a deal with the devil from his point of view? He always said he would not go into coalition with Sinn Féin. Now, he's not ruling it out. So what's changed his mind? That's after 11. Tragic start to this hour, though. Let's go to County Laois, where a community is in mourning over the death of a 2-year-old girl. Sinead Hubble is our head of news. Morning, Sinead.
Good morning.
What happened?
It's a tragic incident last Wednesday morning. Gardaí say that emergency services were called to a house in Laois in the Timahoa area at around 10:30 on Wednesday morning. And a 2-year-old girl, Hannah Keeley, she was rushed to Port Laois Hospital for treatment, and she was then transferred to Crumlin Hospital and later moved to Temple Street Hospital. But sadly, she passed away on Sunday.
It's very hard to process. Only 2 years of age, her little picture in so many papers this morning, a big smile, a lovely mop of blonde hair. You've been talking to people and just the sense of loss is palpable.
That's it. Everyone that I spoke to in the Timahoe Stradbally area, the pain in their voices as they took the call, the community is just absolutely devastated. They're in shock. They're numbed by what has happened. And so many people have come out to express their sympathies to Hannah's mum, Marie, her dad, Dennis, and her sister, Ella, and the Cahill and Keeley families. A vote of sympathy was held at Laois County Council meeting yesterday. Many of the local GAA clubs have posted tributes to her and expressed their deepest sympathies to the family and just said that their hearts are absolutely broken for the family and they can't understand the pain that they're going through at the moment. But it's just so tough on the family themselves and the entire community.
A few people have inquired this morning about funeral arrangements. They haven't been published yet.
No, not yet. But we will bring them to you as soon as we hear.
All right. Sinead, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Unusual tattoos. Will, my late mum had a tattoo on her arm of a harp. And she got it done in 1942-43. Strange for a woman in those days. She was in the ATS in England during the war, and it was part of a dare by her friends. She didn't show it off, but we've 9 children, 33 grandchildren, who thought it was the coolest thing ever. I'm sure they did. Good woman. Will, the story from Frank in County Leash also happened to me. So this is where Frank had tried to sell something on Done Deal, got a WhatsApp message, all looking very legitimate and genuinely interested. And he was sent a web link, apparently to DPD, but not really to DPD, saying that the buyer could pay DPD, DPD in turn would pay Frank. Anyway, it looked legit. Frank considers himself very savvy, and he went ahead, and no sooner than he did, 10 minutes later, the bank was on the phone telling him money was being transferred to Kiev. It's been intercepted, and hopefully the money will return to his bank account. This person says, this a new message, also this item was advertised on Done Deal and it was on Post they were going to use as the middleman. I text my postman, he confirmed on Post does not provide such a service, that it was a scam. So be warned, if you are selling any item and you are given this offer, oh, the courier company, whomever it may be, they will take the money and pay you. Be very, very dubious and be very, very alert. Oh, this scam that we talked about earlier seems to be quite widespread. Well, I had this tried on me as well, and I insisted on the item being collected in person. And guess what? Suddenly, no sale. They weren't interested. That's from Sean. Thanks for the heads up, Sean. Will, my friend has a tattoo of why not on his arm. And so when he's asked why he had that on his arm, he just laughs and says, why not? Thanks, Mick. And a few others are saying, yes, that scam has been attempted and some were taken in. But the good news for Frank and Leash, in all of these other cases, the bank reacted quickly. The money was returned. So I doubt it's a scam that will last very long if the banks are wise to it and the scam artists don't end up with the cash in the end. Now, on to new developments in motoring. If you speed or use a mobile phone behind the wheel, the fines are about to double in new regulations due to be brought in by the Junior Minister for Transport, Hildegard Nocton. We'll hear from her in a moment, but just to give you detail, fixed penalty point charges will rise above €100 for the first time. And this coincides with 61 new speed cameras going live this morning, 4 in Offaly, 2 in Leash, 3 in Westmeath. The minister outlines the offences to be increased.
I'll be doubling the fines for speeding offences from €80 to €160 for people who are using a mobile phone while driving. I'll be doubling that fine as well from €60 to €120, and people who are not wearing seatbelts is also doubling.
Let's get a Garda perspective on this. Pat Murray is a former detective. Indeed, he wrote the book Making of a Detective, and he lives in Mullingar. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Will.
I'm sure you remember, I think it was, 2004 possibly, 2002 maybe, when penalty points were first introduced, and I recall driving to Dublin and everybody was on their best behaviour. It was like flicking a switch, and that effect lasted for a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, and then gradually began to wear off. Do you think this will reinvigorate the system?
Well, I think it'll focus maybe drivers a little bit more, all right. I don't think it'll have that effect, but certainly from the Garda perspective and I suppose the Road Safety Authority, the objective, and it's in Ireland's Road Safety Strategy 2021-2030, is to have a Vision Zero, no road deaths or serious injuries by 2050. Now, that's a big ask, but certainly the introduction of speed cameras will, you know, be an incentive for people to slow down, because statistics do show that speed kills, and, you know, so if we can reduce the number of deaths on the road, it certainly is a good thing. And when you're averaging in around 140 to 150 road deaths a year, you know, you know, it's their deaths that may well be, you know, cut back on, like, you know, in the coming years due to initiatives like the speed cameras. And I don't think it's the Road Safety Authorities or the Garda's perspective to catch people. Because look at it, on the Garda website, it tells you where these cameras are going to be situated and that, you know. So it's not a case that we're going to catch people. It's a case of, you know, these cameras are here. Please slow down.
Has that always been the culture? Because this stereotype of the Garda hiding in the ditch out of view with the hairdryer to try and catch the person, you know, fish in a barrel scenario, that must come from somewhere. No smoke without fire. Once upon a time, at least.
Well, that once upon a time, yeah, sure. Look, I often held the hairdryer myself. But no, like, as time goes on and you know, a broader perspective of what's trying to be achieved, it's up to the driver to be responsible and to be aware of you know, what causes accidents. And if that could be got through to the driver, it would reduce, I'm sure, the number of deaths on the road. And the speed cameras are an incentive to, let's say, spark people's respect for driving, and that they should drive at a reasonable speed, which, like, you know, all roadways now have the signs up, and most cars now have their sat navs, which give speed and actually tell you when you're over the speed limit. And that, so, look, I think it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, and I think it's not a case of trying to catch people. It's a case of trying to make people aware that speed does kill and that they should slow down.
We have tools for catching speeding motorists, whether it's the Go Safe van. We even have now the cameras on the M7 to Limerick, where they're able to, over a distance, calculate if somebody is speeding. It's not just at that single point. I can't remember, there's a term for them, those cameras.
Yes, they have them in use in France and these, and Spain and these countries as well. As if you are going at a certain speed at one point and you arrive at the next point at a certain time, well, you have to have been speeding in the interim. So
yes, and they're in Northern Ireland as well. And in addition to that, there is the handheld device that Gordy can use. But for mobile phone offences, and this is becoming quite a scourge, is there anything other than the Mark 1 eyeball that a Garda can use to catch somebody?
Yeah, well, look, I've seen it myself, like, people on mobile phones driving. And, like, how do you combat that other than, let's say, active Garda mobile patrols that pull in cars, like, and speak to the driver who's been on the mobile phone and prosecute them? And that's it. I can't think of any other, you know, unless there's some sort of electronic masterpiece within your phone that when you're in a car, it'll tell you, hey, come here, don't be talking on your phone. But most people now in cars have hands-free sets, like, you know, so you can chat away.
But that doesn't stop somebody trying to text or trying to do something else.
No, it doesn't. No, but I think, look, guards are vigilant, and when they do see people use a mobile phone while driving, they will follow them or, you know, take the number off the vehicle and speak with them at a later stage and that, you know. So I think I can't see any other way around that, like, you know. But certainly, you know, the road statistics will tell you that speed is a big contributor to deaths on the road, you know. And in respect of young people, I think I know some insurance companies do it, where if you're of a certain age and you get your first insurance, your insurance won't be too expensive if you install or have restrictors on your car that you can't actually drive more than so many miles per hour, and I think that's a good thing. Like, things like that will help,
And I recall, and this is going back longer than I care to admit, but when I was signed up with Hibernian, I believe was the company way back when, they put on courses for young drivers, and if you sat through the course, you would receive a discount on your insurance. So there are methods like that, and yes, it comes down to personal responsibility. There is an enforcement element, but the fine itself has to be a deterrent. So do you believe these new fines double what the old ones were, that that's sufficient?
I think it certainly is a point where someone will focus when you get your notification in the door that, like, you know, you have a €200 fine to pay or €100 fine to pay or whatever. Like, you know, you'll think twice the next time, like, you know, especially if you're using a mobile phone, like, you know, because there's no need to be using a mobile phone while you're driving or texting or that, because there is the technology there to have in your car to be able to use a hands-free system. And even you have in some, I think it's Toyota, you can actually speak your text and send it, like, you know. So, you know, there's no reason for people to be using their mobile phone while driving. And if they get fined, well, look, it is a lesson to be learned. And if they have a monetary amount to pay in respect of their, being caught, well, so be it. Like, you know, I'd have no issue with that. Like, you know, and I think the person who's caught will think, well, I don't want that to happen again, you know. So they might as well put their €100 or €200 to finding out how they can install a hands-free system in their car, you know.
Pat, always enjoy talking with you, and thank you for your time and your analysis. Pat Murray is a former Garda detective, and if you want to look up his book, by the way, it's a great read. It's called The Making of a Detective.